Happy holidays, aliens, ghosts, and robots. It's Keith, and as I'm recording this, it is the week of Christmas. And whether you celebrate that holiday or not, there is one thing that I would like to wish for you this holiday season, and that's just peace, both now and in the new year. Take some time to find some peace in your own life, and take a little time to bring some peace to others, and hopefully we'll all find a little peace together. Enjoy today's episode. An Invisible Sun by W. Keith Timms. Chapter 21. We scrambled through the labyrinthine corridors and compartments of the station, alarms grating in our ears and warning lights flashing all around us. We were moving so fast in the low gravity, I kept colliding with the walls and doorways, but somehow managed to keep up. In the distance, there was shouting and chaos, and occasionally the floors vibrated with some powerful impact in another part of the station. I had no idea where we were, or where we were going, or where the enemy was. The enemy. Shayot. That thought was overwhelming. The power and influence that company wielded seemed impossible to stand against, but Marley Station and its crew were going to try. We came to another intersection, hatches in four different directions, each labeled with arcane codes and colors. Matthew turned to Oliver, who was frantically consulting his map.
Which way?
Left. I mean, up and to the left. You're up and you're left.
Matthew spun open the hatch, and we followed him, Lucy in the middle, Catherine behind her, and I brought up the rear. We went hand over hand up a ladder and into a large hold piled high with strapped down crates.
Almost there, just on the other side of this storage bay.
Shouts came from across the bay. Several Marlians charged through, their eyes fierce, hair flying, clutching pipes and knives, and those fighting sticks I saw earlier. No guns that I could see. I hadn't heard any gunfire either. Firing a gun in a space station, where a single stray bullet can depressurize a whole compartment, would be a foolish thing to do. We met up with the Marlians as the last of them came out of a long, pressurized corridor which led to another section of the station. Matthew approached the leader.
What's the situation? Are all your people out of Section C?
She was a brawny, chocolate-skinned woman with a shaved head, and she nodded and pointed to the hatch in front of us with the tip of her machete.
Yes, we are the last. The rest are pinned down in A section, but Shayot has taken all of C. When they come through, we're going to hold them here.
Are you sure your people are out of C?
Yeah, why?
Where is Shayot now?
Last I heard, they were coming down through the residences, and we locked everything we could on our way to slow them down. But they have plasma torches.
How many are there?
2 dozen. 3? Soldiers in body armor. Boarding blades, accelerator rifles.
All right. You should fall back to D section.
What? Why? We can hold them here. This is the only passage to C section in this part of the station.
Lucy stepped forward, uncertainly.
Matthew, what are you going to do?
He opened his satchel and reached inside, carefully removing the container holding the eye and passing it to Lucy. He then went in again, and I saw what his plan was. There were a pair of what I assumed were explosive charges by their shape and the little electronic control panel placed against them. Excavation charges, like the ones he used on Mars. He touched a button on the panel. The bomb beeped once, and a little light came on. Oliver backed away, alarmed. But Lucy moved forward and put her hand on his arm.
Matthew, no!
Catherine's eyes went wide as she saw what he had.
Wait, what are you doing?
Matthew gently removed Lucy's hand from his arm.
If we blow this passage, they'll have to take the long way around through the station. It will give us a little more time to get to the chapel or to the ship.
The explosion will almost certainly open the section to space. You could kill...
If I kill people, so be it. It's on me.
He turned to the Marlians, who stared in alarm at his plan.
Fall back to the others in D. You'll hold the line there. Oliver, go to the chapel. They'll need your expertise down there. Sister, go with him.
We're not going to actually use it, are we?
We may have to.
He turned back to the Marlian woman.
Any objections?
She stared at him in disbelief, but I could see her seeing the purpose in his plan, and a rebellious willingness to do the extreme in extreme circumstances.
Do it. Your man is crazy. Can you escort these two to the chapel?
Well, come on then, if you're coming.
The Marlians glided away and out another hatch, machetes and sticks at the ready.
I better contact the chapel and see if they're ready.
Where's the nearest comm panel?
And then he was gone, following them. But Lucy stayed put, staring at Matthew with profound worry, struggling to find another option or some words that would stop him. The big man moved with implacable purpose. He stepped through the doorway the Marlians had come in through, beyond which was a very long, straight corridor, lit with light panels and set with narrow windows that looked out on the void outside. Matthew was covering the long distance quickly in the low gravity. Lucy suddenly launched herself after him, cradling the eye against her body. Something pressed on my chest, shoved me hard. I went flying back. Catherine had pushed me out of the way. She launched herself through the doorway after them. As I scrambled to stop my backwards momentum, all I could think about was how she shouldn't be in there, how foolish she was trying to stop Matthew, how dangerous it was for her, who did not ask for any of this. I dragged a foot against the floor to slow my movement, and when I had gotten my feet under me again, I went after her. The passage was long and smooth, paneled in white plastic. Small warning lights flickered along its length. It must be 30 meters long, and there was another hatch at the far end. It was wide enough for two or three people to stand abreast, moving themselves along by pushing off the walls or using discreet handholds. Matthew and Lucy were already halfway down the corridor. Catherine was rapidly gaining on them. My arms and legs quivered as I hurried to catch up. Adrenaline had masked the pain in my joints, but not my hammering pulse, but the feverish flush pouring through me. Matthew was almost at the far door, and Lucy had caught up. She was trying to use her free hand to restrain him, but he was nearly twice her size.
Find another way.
Not this time.
He pressed a series of buttons on the bomb's control panel.
Matthew, they won't give us the same mercy you want me to give them.
Which is why it is important that we show it.
Catherine was moving fast, gliding almost like a fish in water, and had caught up to them. With one fluid, balletic twist of her body, she pulled Sister Lucy out of the way and sent her careening back down the corridor and bouncing against the wall. I caught a flash of Catherine's face as she turned, and her expression was startlingly serious. With an agile kick against the wall, she glided into Matthew and reached for the bomb.
Put it down!
But Matthew counters her, snagging her wrist in his free hand, dragging her past him, and shoving her up against the hatch. His hand closed around her neck. She cried out as the back of her head struck metal.
Don't.
Let her go!
I passed Lucy, who was recovering her footing. I knew I had no chance against this man, but I had to try. Catherine's face was contorted in pain as he pinned her, but he remained calm as he turned to look at me over his shoulder.
I won't hurt her unless she tries to stop me.
Sister Lucy moved in behind me.
Both of you, go back. We'll head for the chapel. But this is my choice.
He looked down at the charge in his hand and thumbed a button on it. He was about to turn back to Catherine when I heard a strange metallic sound, something sliding and clicking into place. And then a wound erupted from Matthew's throat, coming out of the heart of the invisible sun inked there. Blood sprayed outward. Something like the tip of a spear, a sharpened metal rod, glimmered from the center of his windpipe, streaked with crimson. His eyes went wide, and he made a strangled, gasping sound. He dropped the bomb, which floated slowly to the floor, and his newly freed hand reached up to claw at the thing in his neck. The metal spear pulled back, and blood coursed freely out of the wound, spilling horribly down his chest and pouring into his lungs. He coughed wetly, spraying blood from his lips and the hole in his neck. He released Catherine, almost absently, turning to look at her, lost and confused. And then he's not looking at all. He was just dead. His once powerful body sank to the floor of the passageway. Catherine stood behind him, her expression hard, her hair disheveled, standing in a balanced and aggressive pose, feet planted precisely on the floor, and in her right hand, a collapsible, sharpened metal rod, streaked with Matthew's blood. She stared at us, keenly focused and calm. It was the same expression I saw on Matthew's face back on Mars as he incapacitated that soldier. Trained, skilled, willing to act.
No!
Sister Lucy cried out in heartbreak at Matthew's fallen body, and she dropped the heavy metal cylinder of the eye. With reckless fury, she launched herself at Catherine with both hands extended. Catherine barely moved, though. With her free hand, she deflected Lucy's charge and slammed her face first into the hatch, then immediately struck her in the lower back with the hard, blunt pommel of her extensible baton. Lucy grunted and went limp, falling to the ground near Matthew. Catherine placed her foot on Lucy's chest, the baton held at the ready.
Don't. All right. It's over.
Lucy whimpered softly and reached out for Matthew's hand. His blood was pooling and running along the floor in a slow-moving flood. Catherine clicked a button on her baton, and it retracted into something hand-size, which she tucked into her suit jacket pocket. She picked up the bomb to study the control panel on the front.
You work for Shayot.
I felt so overwhelmed and stupid. Very, very stupid.
All this time, that's why you rescued us. To follow us. That's why you had a ship. You betrayed us to them. You betrayed me. Christopher, I'm doing you a favor. This isn't you.
Her words made my stomach twist. I felt hot tears in the corners of my eyes, and a flush of shame and fury. Lucy was weeping quietly, and had cradled Matthew's head to her chest. His face and throat were a mess of gore, the invisible sun tattoo ruined by a bloom of torn flesh. Did she do Matthew a favor? Did they imprison and kill Evan for his own good?
You don't get to say who I am.
Catherine's attention was focused on the bomb in her hand. She wasn't watching me. I suspected she didn't even think I could be a threat. I picked up the heavy metal case which held the eye. By the time Catherine caught my movement in her peripheral vision, I was already lifting it up. By the time she whirled to face me, I was already bringing it down at her head, recklessly, with my whole being, with whatever strength I had in me. However feeble and futile it was in the face of all things, whatever I had left, I poured into that metal edge. The impact jolted my arms. Catherine grunted, goes reeling back, bounces off the corridor wall. There was a big gash on her forehead. The bomb goes spinning out of her grip. Her eyes were unfocused and glassy, and her hands scrabbled on the walls to right herself. I tucked the eye under my arm.
Lucy, come on!
Lucy hesitated for only a second, petting Matthew's hair one last time, before pulling herself up and staggering down the long tube back the way we came. Both of us were bouncing off the walls, clumsy in the low gravity, but we had to get out of here. We had to run. I didn't know to where, but with all my being, I wanted to escape. I wanted to live. Sister Lucy was panting next to me as we raced down the long corridor.
The bomb.
We were halfway back. I looked over my shoulder and saw Catherine, hand to her head, staggering to her feet. The bomb lay on the floor next to Matthew's corpse, still beeping. Catherine studied it, and her face turned terrified. She launched herself down the corridor like a diver into the water, grabbing handhold after handhold to propel herself along. But she wasn't chasing us. She was running for her life. The open hatchway ahead of us seemed too far. It wasn't coming fast enough. I was slowed down by the eye and could only use one hand to grab the handholds. Lucy was ahead of me, almost out. Catherine came up behind me fast. We were almost there. The pressure wave funneled down the corridor, picked me up like a child's toy, and flung me forward. Almost immediately, the noise just stopped. I tumbled forward in complete silence as the air vanished into the vacuum outside. The world spun around me, full of shrapnel, streaks of light, and the dead black of open space. I slammed into something hard and heavy. If I had breath, it would have been knocked out of me. I tumbled across flat metal, helplessly, somehow managing to keep hold of the eye, clutching it to my chest. I was trying to breathe, but nothing was there. I skidded to a halt and laid in the absolute silence and the growing cold that was eating through my body. Then my lungs got little trickles of air, and I gasped for what I could get. The world slowly came back into focus. I was in the storage bay, on the floor, surrounded by debris and dislodged containers. The hatchway to the ruined corridor was sealed by an emergency bulkhead that closed when the room depressurized. The explosion must have propelled me into the room, and now the emergency systems were pumping air back into it. My lungs felt like they were full of sand. The room was a mess. The alarm rang out, over and over. I pulled myself upright on a container. My head was swimming. My body ached. One of my legs really hurt, but I didn't seem to have anything broken. My ribs felt bruised, likely from the eye's container as I held it against me through the chaos.
Lucy!
She had been ahead of me in the corridor before it blew. Hopefully she got propelled through as I did. I headed for the closed bulkhead to look for her, and I saw Matthew's satchel knocked a few meters from where he had left it, the strap wrapped around a shelving unit. Untangling it, I put the eye inside, next to another one of those blast charges and Matthew's personal effects. Nothing much, just some toiletries, a simple tablet, a change of clothes. Like Evan's sweater on Mars, this was all that was left of him. I wondered if he had a family. I doubted there's any way to get his remains now. If his body hadn't been destroyed in the explosion, he was probably sailing into the void now, heading for the stars. Millennia away. I slung his satchel over my shoulder and resumed my search for Lucy. I found her struggling to pull herself out from under some fallen crates. I lifted them off of her and helped her up.
Are you hurt?
She nodded, tears in her eyes.
Yes.
Her tight, lined face had bruises starting to form on it, and she cradled her right knee. But I don't think that's the pain she was referring to.
I'm sorry.
It felt like such a useless thing to say. She merely nodded, her eyes downcast, listless, broken. A profound weariness had settled over her. I think it was always there, but she had the strength to keep it at bay. Now, with Matthew lost, that strength was gone. The alarms stopped, but the warning lights continued to pulse. In the distance, I heard conflict somewhere out in the maze of Marley's tunnels. I guessed that we didn't have much time. Maybe the Marleyans will fight off the Shayot invaders, but I didn't think we could count on that. We had to do something.
Now what? I don't know. We can't stay here. We must go.
to the ship, or, what about this chapel you all kept talking about?
The chapel. It is a secret project Marley has been working on, building for us. If Shayot finds it and the eye, that will end us forever.
Well, what is it? What are they building?
Oliver's voice buzzed from a panel on the wall.
Lucy! Matthew! Are you there?
As we rose to approach the panel, I saw Catherine. She was lying on the floor against a storage rack, moving faintly and groaning, half-conscious. The gash on her forehead I gave her had bled down the side of her face. The end of her ponytail and the edges of her clothes were singed, and her left arm bulged oddly at the bicep. Broken. We both just stopped and stared. Where Lucy seemed flooded with grief and anger, I felt shame and guilt. She played me. I led her right to Sister Lucy and the others, and she led Shayot to them. What's worse, I had hoped that Catherine might actually be something I desperately needed in my life. A friend. And it was that need that allowed her to use me.
Lucy, are you there, dammit?
Lucy did not move, just stared at Catherine. So I found the right button on the comm panel.
Oliver, it's Christopher. Lucy and I are here.
Oh, thank Christ. The plan worked. Shayot is heading down through Section A and the Marlians are holding him off. But look, it's not going well. Shayot is desperate. They're starting to use accelerator guns and don't seem to care about blowing holes in the walls. The miners are getting cut to ribbons. You need to get down here. We need Matthew's tactical advice, yeah?
Matthew's dead.
What?
We were betrayed. Look, I've got the eye, and Lucy is with me. We need to get the eye out of here. Is there a ship we can take and a pilot to fly it?
A Baptiste has access to a gate ship, but it's docked in A section behind the enemy line. What about the ship we came in? Can't you take that?
Maybe, but we need a pilot. We, can't count on Catherine.
There was a silence at the other end of the comms as Oliver, I presumed, consulted with whoever else was with him.
There's only a couple of people on the station apart from Baptiste who know how to operate Twine Drive. We can't find them. They're either fighting or dead, and Baptiste is leading the defense.
Lucy pulled herself away from the half-conscious Catherine to speak into the comms.
Oliver, how much time do you think we have before Shayot reaches the chapel?
I don't know. Minutes.
Then this will be our only chance to use it.
But they haven't finished the testing. I don't know if there's even enough power to use it.
We do not have the time. Send it out. Power it up.
But we don't have a pilot.
We will just...
Yeah, we do.
What? Who? Get everything ready. I will contact you when we are aboard.
We both stared at Catherine's fallen form for a long time.
I don't think I can...
It's okay. I'll talk to her. But we need her.
We can't trust her.
No. But we need her.
All right.
We both approached her.
Hold her still.
I placed my hands on her shoulders. Catherine moaned faintly, but didn't struggle much. I don't think she was conscious enough to know what was happening.
Be careful. She's dangerous.
I know.
She took Catherine's broken arm in her hands, gently felt around the break, and then with a long, hard pull on her wrist, popped the bone back into place. Catherine screamed and bucked against my hands in pain, before passing out completely.
Do you know the way to her ship?
I was so turned around in this place, the task seemed impossible. But we don't have time to consider the impossible.
I think so. Baptiste said that red doors lead to the core, which is near where we docked. But
you need to be okay with this.
I know. If we're going to have any chance of her help at all, we need to try to forgive her.
Sister Lucy draped Catherine's unbroken arm over her shoulder. She was light in the low gravity, But it would be awkward carrying her along in any case. Catherine's head lolled forward, hair hanging in her face, drying blood streaked in it. I checked Matthew's satchel and the eye within, and headed for the nearest red door.
That's a lot to ask. Do you think you can do it?
Lucy's face was stony as she followed, carrying Catherine.
I am trying.
An Invisible Sun is written, produced, performed, and composed by W. Keith Timms, and is a production of Alien Ghost Robot Creative Media. If you're enjoying the story, please tell your friends and family about it, and leave stars or reviews on your favorite podcast platforms. I hope you'll join us on our Discord server, or sign up for our mailing list so we can stay in touch. Members of our Patreon get to hear future episodes early, plus other cool perks for all our shows. Go to InvisibleSunPod.com for more information.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.